We packed up and commenced to move out of Song Bay for the last time. And it was really neat. We all had one last warm beer. One of the things I will remember Song Bay by the most is for its warm beer. A few of us smoked a few. We tied, I don't know whether you're familiar with them or not, but we have these smoke hand grenades, which look, they're about the size of an orange juice can with a hand grenade fuse on top. You pop them and smoke spews out the bottom, you know, colored smoke. Called smoke grenades. Well, anyway, we wire these onto the skids. We wired six of them, three on each skid. We go flying by, pulling smoke, and it's called trailing smoke, you know. And this is you know, a little showy thing we do. And so, fortunately, I got in an aircraft with the maintenance officer. The maintenance officer is not an AC, and since I had more hours, I more or less kind of ran things. And we were flying a tight formation, low level, took off Song Bay, circled around the traffic pattern once, and came in low and fast, you know. 6 feet off the ground, 6 feet next to the other helicopter, and 100 knots. Trailing smoke. And it was really groovy. Had a three-ship formation, you know. In a V of three. And we went zooming out. Trailing smoke, and then when we got to the end of the strip, you know, we all flared, and the right aircraft broke right, and left aircraft broke left, and the center aircraft did a cyclic climb right straight up, you know. And it was really groovy, you know. We did this with all the crew chiefs and the maintenance crew and the guys that never fly. We really gave them a thrill. And I don't think I told you where we moved to. We moved to Phu Loi, which is, Saigon and Ben Hoa and Phu Loi form a triangle. Saigon being the easternmost, Ben Hoa being the northwesternmost, and Phu Loi being the southwesternmost. So they form a triangle down here. It's a real nice, secure place. This is the headquarters for all the maintenance. That says they got a billion helicopters here, and they just about make one. You know, it's real. This is where all the higher level maintenance. If they can't do it here, they've got to send it back in the world, back to the world to be done. You know. But anyway, so here we are in beautiful downtown Phu Loi, which is very similar to Ben Hoa. Hot, lots of mosquitoes. No incoming, no VC, no NVA, no rockets, no mortars, no nothing. Just hot, muggy screens and a lot of work to do. For most of the people, we're down here loafing. We're on stand down. Last night, we all got in. Oh, I didn't tell you about the trip back, which was very exciting. The trip back started about 6 o'clock, and it's a long trip. It's about an hour's flight. And we were flying nighttime formation, you know. Two ships, me and the other one. I was in the second ship, and I was flying off of the first ship, you know, formation style. And, the lead got lost, and because I was flying formation, I wasn't watching where I was going, and we ended up in Koh Chi, which is west here, almost in Cambodia. And the first aircraft unfortunately did not have a foresight enough to have a sufficient supply of fuel on board to handle such emergencies, so he was critical fuel. Got to Koh Chi with 175 pounds of fuel. And you'll remember it burns 6.6 pounds in a minute. That's a gallon a minute. 1 gallon for 1 minute. 60 gallons an hour is what a Huey burns. And so 175 pounds is really pushing it. Well, anyway, we landed at Coochie, fueled up again, and made it on in. It's only about 15 or 20 minutes to Fuloy on GCA in at night formation, which was really groovy. Something I had never done before, but I didn't tell any of the guys I was flying with. I didn't want to needlessly alarm them. But we got in here last night about 9 o'clock. And, of course, we had to live down the fact that we'd gotten lost. So the guy that got us lost ended up buying the bar for the first round. And the old man, Captain Montgomery, who, if you remember a while back, Captain Montgomery got zapped with a mortar. Well, he's back with us again. He has scars on his bottom and his legs and his back and his neck and his head and his ear. But nothing permanent, you know, just flesh wounds. But he's back with us now. And so he bought the rest of the rounds. And we all did our thing last night. The juicers got drunk and the potheads got stoned, you know. I got a little of each. And, well, let's see, what else? We all went to bed about 1 o'clock last night after a great deal of celebrating. It was the first time I'd really relaxed over here in Vietnam in a long, long time, and I really kind of cut loose. But we slept late this morning and went over to the PX, and I bought another gun magazine. You say you've got one that you haven't sent to me. Well, send it to me. As soon as I give you an address. I'll give you an address in a couple of days. But I don't think you'll be needing to send me any more gun magazines. Because, well, I'm not going to tell you yet. Well, anyway, we went swimming this morning. And I bought a gun magazine. And I went swimming this morning and got a steam bath and a massage this afternoon. And over at the club having a couple of beers. And it's now about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We also got the word. Here's the word. What could be the best news, short of me coming home in the near, near future, that you could hear? Think about it. What could be the best news? You'll never guess where they're going to send me now. Are you ready? Are you jumping up and down? Are you just dying to find out? You'll never guess where they're going to send me. I didn't believe it was possible. You know, the Army has screwed me up one side and down the other. And I didn't think it was possible. But for my final 4 months in Vietnam, it looks like I'm going to be spending it in Ben Hoa. Need I say more? Ben Hoa, land of the big PX, land of the Air Force movie theater, land of the no incoming and no rockets. Land of the Strap, 229th Battalion. Yes, sirree, that's where I'm going, 229th. Still in the 11th Group. I'll be doing... Well, I really don't know what I'll be doing. I don't know which company they'll send me to, but 229th Headquarters is in Ben Hoa. And that's the area I'll be working, right around in Phuc Vinh, Ben Hoa, Fuloy. They call it the Palace Guards because it's headquarters, you know, and we're the ones that guard the Saigon area. So we'll be right down here in Saigon guarding things, which suits me to no end. No more Laos, no more Cambodia, no more flying up in the Song Bay Mountains or way out in the jungles. It'll all be around Ben Hoa, which is dandy. That's just great, really. And I'll be staying in the cav, of course, which means possibly, if they decide to stand down 1st Brigade, which is who the 229th supports, I might get a chance to get a 60-day drop and come home April 22nd. I don't know. Well, I don't know. I really doubt that. I haven't got any wind of them standing down or anything like that. So I don't know, really. But I do know that I will be in 229th, and that headquarters is in Benoit. Of course, I may be in either Fulloy or maybe even Phuc Vinh. Or Saigon. It's hard telling, but this is the area that we've got. You know, it's within a 30-mile radius of Saigon is the area where the 229th works now. How does that sound? Pretty groovy, huh? It's almost too good to believe, and I can hardly believe it myself, but that's what the old man told me. I haven't seen it in writing yet, but he said he came down with the word that where everybody was going to go, and he told everybody their new place of business would be. Some of the guys went to 101st. Those were the guys that had a lot of time left in country, you know, like the guys that have been here for 3 or 4 months, you know, that still have 8 or 9 to go. They went to 101st. The guys that were short all stayed with the Cav, you know, that had, I don't know, I guess 4 months or less. Maybe I barely made it under the wire, I don't know. But in any case, I'm real happy with it now. Now, if they just don't turn around and do me a job or something like that, I'll be real happy. I could end up possibly at Fire Support Base Mace, which is a real uncomfortable place to live as far as living conditions. It's a lot like Song Bay, but I don't know. It's hard telling. Even though, Mace is on the coast, though, see, so that kind of offsets the rank living conditions. You can always go down to the ocean and take a bath or something. But anyway, so far things are looking pretty good. At least I'll be in the same AO that I know, like the back of my hand, and I won't have to learn a new AO, and I know all the dangers of this particular AO and what to look out for. You know, and I won't have to learn any kind of new flying, like in the mountains up north, or learn how to navigate up north. I know this AO real well, and it's one I can live with. So, barring the bullet with your name on it and engine failures, I've got it made. So, I'm really happy now. 2nd Brigade and Song Bay is no more. When we left Song Bay, you wouldn't believe how deserted that is. Charlie has gone to Phuc Vinh. I don't know for how long. But he's unhappy about moving, but actually he's in a not bad place. Phuc Vinh is a really, really not a bad place at all because it has all the money in the club. That's where the Cav headquarters are, say. So it's really a big place, and where there's a big place, there's lots to do. Of course, Phuc Vinh is one of the primary targets that the Gooks can get to. Phuc Vinh is about 30 miles north. Well, maybe not that many. About 15 or 20 miles north of Benoit. So it's a little bit closer to the Gooks. But it's not a bad place, you know. And then Lycay is just to the west of Phuc Vinh, about 5 miles, 10 miles, something like that. You climb up to altitude from Phuc Vinh, and you can see Lycay, and you begin setting down again. Let's see, what else? Well, that's about all there is. I'm laying here on March the 8th, completely stood down, with nothing to do but lay around in the sun. I went swimming today for the first time since I've been in Vietnam and just enjoyed the hell out of it. I got out before I got too bad of a sunburn, I think, so I can go back tomorrow and enjoy it some more. We're going to have a couple of days here, I think, although the old man is trying to get us moved out by tomorrow, we very wisely packed our records in a Connex, which has conveniently gotten lost on a land convoy. So it'll probably be a couple of days before we find our records and get straightened out. So we'll be laying around in the sun up here at Fuloy, going to the swimming pool every afternoon. And just enjoying it. We're living in a BOQ, a transient village, which is one of these tin-roofed, screened-in sandbag jobs like we had at Lycay, except the Lycay one was, you know, had separate rooms. This one doesn't have separate rooms. It's one big, you know, barrack-style building. Tin roof on top, sandbags up to the waist level, and screens up to the roof from there on up, you know. And it's hot, but I've got my fan blowing on me. Hear it? And it's tolerable. I got a pretty comfortable bed, although it's got a short mattress on it. I swear this mattress is only 4 feet long. So, it looks like I can live out the rest of my days in country here in relative peace. About the worst thing they can do is send me to Mace, and I can stand bad living conditions. That doesn't even bother me anymore. After living in Song Bay, but the one thing I was really worried about was changing AOs, having to go up north. Not so much that flying up there is any more dangerous than it is down here. It's just that it's different, and I wouldn't know anything to do up there. You know. I've gotten used to working in this particular AO, and I know what to expect out here, and I know where the gooks are all located, where all the 50 pits are, so to speak. I know what to look out for. I know the border real well. And I can almost, from any place in the AO that I should happen to run into trouble, like say you have an engine failure, I can almost quote verbatim the grid coordinates just by looking at the trees before I crash into them, see, so I can make a good mayday call. Really, just knowing the AO is really important, and you got two pilots in an aircraft that are real good at the AO, you stand an even better chance of surviving in it. When you do a lot of moving around in unfamiliar ground, you're really at a disadvantage. You can't really begin to fight the war until you're familiar with the ground you're working in. You have to fight it on your own territory, and it becomes your own as soon as you know it. You know? So, I've got this pretty well learned. As good as anybody, I suppose. There's still nasty rumors that first of the ninth might get moved to north, stay in the cav, but they'll just move them north, you know. Well, those are continuing to be nasty rumors. There are no rumors at all that I know of that say 229th is going. I've heard 227th might possibly go. But as it looks now, Benoit should be the place. So I can hardly believe it. It's almost too good to be true, really. But we'll see. Today being March the 8th, just 14 days away from being the 22nd of this month, puts it 2 weeks, and April, May, June, 2 weeks and 3 months at the most. So I've got about 100 days, I figure, at the most. So 100 days and counting. Just a matter of time. Well, I more or less have run out of things to say. I got a couple of tapes from you, one the day before yesterday and one yesterday. I played through the one I got yesterday while I was kind of drunk and couldn't really understand it too well with my earphone. I no longer have my private little AO, so I can't use the speaker. There's quite a lot of quite a long tape here. I don't know. I just started taping it the same day, a few hours before I got that one tape from you. So I messed up Johnny Rivers and Bridge Over Troubled Water, but that's okay because I was getting tired of both of them. So I want you to record some music on this tape and send it back to me. Some more music. See if you can find Deja Vu. And or a little Led Zeppelin, or I don't know, some good strong acid rock, Jefferson Airplane, whatever you got. I know some of those are kind of out of style now. Or Creedence Clearwater, Suzy Q, or some of that stuff too. That'd be all right. Whatever you can find. I'll listen to them for a while and get tired of them, tape over them and send them back to you, and you can send them to me again, okay? This is an outstanding recording. This cassette here is really a good quality one. You say you made it on Dad's and plugged a direct line into it and all that. That's the only way to make a recording. And it's really, really good quality. First class A number one. I think I also told you on the other side, yesterday or the day before, whenever it was I started it, that I'm sending you $200. Now that is the money that was held in, that has been carried forward from the day one since I've been here, since I've had an excess. And I have this marked for two things: stereo equipment and a little trip to Australia that I plan to take when I have less than 30 days to go in country. So, don't spend it. Save as much as you can. I'm going to try to finance all the rest of stereo equipment and my trip to Australia out of the money that I get in excess over here and the money that I'm sending home. Of course, that's all there is, you know. There's only three places it goes. It goes to me, it goes to you, or it goes into the Sigley Savings Program. And I want to kind of keep the Sigley Savings intact. Although I don't want to cut you short. As a matter of fact, I might even consider just floating a loan there at Second National Bank, because even if I did a loan at Second National Bank, instead of taking it out of the Sigley Savings Program, I could probably, you know, make money on it. Because I could borrow it from the bank, pay it back at 8%. Whereas if I took it out of my savings, which is earning me 10%, see, I'd have a 2% deficit. So I'd be a lot better off to borrow it and pay 8% on it and still collect an extra 2% on my savings than I would be to take it out of the savings. So, that's what I think I'll do. Of course, just one of those short 90-day notes. And then when I get back and I cash in all my $4,000 here, then I can pay it back, you know, and I won't quite have made as much on some of it. You know, I was only thinking maybe borrowing a couple or $300 or so, maybe even $500. $500 payback in one lump in 90 days, you know. That shouldn't cost more than about $20. I may do that. You might possibly look into it and see how much it would cost to borrow $500 for 90 days. And if they want collateral, tell them, ask them if there's any way that I can use the money that's in that Sigley Savings Program. See if I can get it on signature. Or if worse comes to worse, I suppose I'd get my old man to co-sign for me. He's got good credit, and Of course, the bank would, I don't know whether they'd give credit on that Sigley Savings Program or not, because, see, they can't get their hands on it unless I say they can. So they more or less have to take me at my word that I'm paying back, you know. They don't really have anything binding, which they might do. I don't know. It's hard telling. If you might, I don't know, you never have told me, do you get any kind of a statement of account with the money that they send you, you know, that tells how much I make total and all that? If you do, that's nice. If you don't, well, I don't know. But this is just, you know, as a for instance, what I'm thinking about doing. I'm also trying to get a telephone call in to you while I'm at Fuloy, a Mars call, tonight at 6, I'll try. Of course, by the time you get this tape, you will have known already either I made it or didn't make it. I went by there and put in my reservation for 6 o'clock tonight, which will hit you sometime in the morning. I don't know. So we'll see. You said that if I was going to get out of the Army, or if I was going to stay in the Army, that you wanted to buy some stuff out of the PX. Well, why don't you tell me what you want to buy out of the PX anyway? I think I've already told you on previous tapes that I'm not planning on staying in. But I don't really see any reason why you can't buy what you want to buy right now anyway, if it's not too expensive. So with that in mind, pick out whatever you want the most, and let me know what it is, and if we can swing it, fine. And if we can't, well, that's the way it goes. Almost all that stuff that's in the PaceX catalog, well, I don't know about the other stuff, but I do know that cameras and stereo equipment is exactly one half of retail price of name brand items. In other words, if they list a stereo in there for $500 retail, then I can get it out of PaceX for about $250. Of course, now you could go to an Allied or a discount place and get about 25% off and get the thing for maybe $375. But the PaceX is still a better deal. So let me know what you want. So you can save money by spending money at this rate, because it's definitely a hedge against inflation. And if you want to buy something that'll maintain its value, it's not style dated. I don't know, you didn't really say whether you wanted dishes or furniture or china or silver or what. But I'll go along with silver. I'm not much of a china fan because it's so fragile and has, you know, just, you know, it, I think it really represents a poor investment myself. But silver and gems, I think, are pretty good investment. And so, well, you didn't really say what you wanted, or whether it's furniture, I don't know. But, and tell Mom I'm still looking for her turquoise vases, although I really haven't had a chance living in Song Bay the past 3 months or so. Probably now that I'm down here in Fuloy, I might get a chance to scrounge something up. I also might be able to get the jacket for your cousin that he wanted, that's like yours now, and I can get my suede coat. Well, there's all kinds of money we're planning on spending, isn't there? I don't know that we're gonna, well, we'll see, I guess. But now that I'm in Benoit, definitely have a chance to spend some money. I would like to get the stereo finished. Started that a long time ago and then got interrupted by a trip home, which was very expensive, but as you say, it was worth it. But I really would like to finish out the stereo, and I need about $400 for the stereo to finish it up. I need about $200 for the tape recorder and about $200 for the speakers. After that, I'll be satisfied, although I could easily spend another $100 or so on a cassette deck and a FM tuner. Oh, sweetheart. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Well, the tape is only about half finished on this side, and I'm all finished, actually. I don't know what my, oh, well, I really don't. I'll tell you what, just keep on sending my mail to 2nd Brigade. Don't write Song by Yonard anymore. Just write 2nd Brigade Head and Head Company. And I hope it'll catch me. I don't know which company I'll be in, and if you send it to 229th, they never heard of me, you know. So go ahead and keep on sending it to 2nd Brigade, HHC, Headquarters and Headquarters Company. And don't mail me anything of any great value, like a care package or magazines or anything like that. Love letters, stuff that that is good late than never, better than never. You can go ahead and mail that to me. I should have a new address in about maybe another couple or 3 days, and I'll let you know as soon as I get it what it's going to be.
You much for wanting to be free. I just wanted you to know I've loved you better than your own kin did from the very start. It's my own fault for what happens to my heart. You see, I've always known you'd go. So you just do what you...
I was just kind of listening to Johnny Rivers there for a minute. I really can't describe how good I feel right now. Really, you know, everything is rosy. I can't believe it. I was really preparing myself for the worst. And I'm really enjoying this, knowing that where I'm going to be is where I want to be. If I can't go home. There are some places in Vietnam that are much, much better than others, and it looks like I've gotten assigned at last to one of those places. Benoit does have a couple of dangers that Song Bay didn't. One of them is the mosquitoes, and the malaria rate at Benoit is about 10 times as bad as it was at Song Bay. As a matter of fact, Song Bay, it was just about zilch because it was high and cool and no mosquitoes. And Benoit is low and flat, a lot like Houston, Texas, which my mother hated. Muggy, really uncomfortable, temperature-wise. And got all the air-conditioned clubs in Benoit, though. So, it really is nice. I really, really do feel happy about this. Next to going home is just about the best thing that could happen to me. I hope Charlie makes out as well as I did. And, we said our goodbyes a couple of nights ago. smoked our last. Gave him back his AK-50. He's still going to try to find a way to smuggle it home. I haven't found a gun to take home yet. I've been toying with the idea of taking my 45 home, but then again I've been toying with not taking it home because I only paid $35 for it and I can probably get that back by selling it. I could just as easily buy one at home for twice that without any risk of getting caught or anything. I don't know. I haven't decided what I'm going to do about taking a gun home. I also have a 38 that I can sell. I think I'll sell both of them and just cash in on it before I leave. I'm going to shoot up all my old 38 ammo. I'm going to try to take my 9mm Luger ammo home. It's about $6 worth of ammunition in my hand-loaded cases, which I never did use. I definitely would like to take both my Browning and my Luger out and just shoot them a while, because they're two guns that I never have played with very much. Play with the 38 Special, 44 Magnum, quite a bit. But I never have played around very much with the Luger and the Browning High Power. I'll tell you one thing, though. I really wish I'd kept that Browning High Power with me and didn't send it home at San Francisco, because I certainly could have kept it over here without any trouble at all. While it's not authorized, it's not exactly illegal either. And it's a real good gun. Really is. There are a lot of guys, as a matter of fact, it's just about the most popular gun over here that anybody brings. I'd say a 357 revolver and a Browning High Power are the two most common civilian-owned guns, you know. Of course, you see the military issue 35s, 45s, and 38s. But if a guy brings his own gun, it's usually either a Browning High Power or a Smith & Wesson or a Colt 357 revolver of one kind or another. I think the Browning kind of takes the edge on it, too. Six shots, no matter how powerful they are only six shots. And most people in the military are firepower conscious. The more the better. They don't really care what kind of projectiles it puts out, just so long as it puts out a lot of them. I still have my 16. I imagine I'll be turning that in pretty soon. That's an issued weapon. Had to blow my nose there for a second. Let's see, what else? I don't know. I couldn't really make out too much on that tape the other night. My earphone was not working real well, and neither was my ear. It was kind of plugged up with alcohol and other things. I'll listen to it again tonight. I want to finish this one up and get it in the mail tonight if I can. You complained on both the tapes that you hadn't gotten enough mail lately, which is probably true. There at the very end, we had a big flying spree, and I did a lot of flying and not much letter writing, because every night I'd come in. Well, it's just one of those things that there's really no excuse for, but that's the reason. There towards the end I was getting pretty high on the hours. I was on the board every day. And of course on the other side I related to you a somewhat typical mission. I overemphasized the bad weather, The weather is not really that bad. I have no great fear of weather flying like a lot of pilots do. I attribute this to my see, weather flying is more or less something that has to do with your personal skill. If you're a good weather pilot, a good IFR, good on the instruments, and know what to do and keep your head when you're in a weather situation where you're in, can't see your nose, you know, in front of your face. Things depend primarily on the pilot. I tend to worry more about mechanical failure just about any time, because that's something that is more beyond my control, that I have less control over, you know. It plagues me more. I've been real fortunate. So far, I haven't had a single malfunction of any kind of a serious nature at all, you know. Not one thing. I fly with these guys that have had a tail rotor failure and a hydraulics failure and engine failures. And you find a guy who's had one engine failure or something, usually he's had a couple other things go wrong with it too, you know, and you wonder why he's still flying. But I'm really impressed with these old Hueys. They're a real good bird. They are as reliable as any single-engined aircraft can be, I think. They have an outstanding engine in them. The Loach is a more crash-worthy aircraft than a Huey is, but a Huey is no more prone to crash than any other aircraft. I'd say about the worst is the Cobra. And I've told you numerous times before why. They're a little more critical on things like hydraulics and tail rotors. See, a Huey can fly without a tail rotor, fly without hydraulics, you know. And it can fly without everything except its rotor blades and engine. As long as it's got the rotor blades and engine, you're in good shape. And as long as you got the rotor blades, you're still in pretty good shape, because it's real easy to auto-rotate. All you need is a spot. It used to be that was a problem, but down here in the south now, around Saigon, it's not going to be any problem, because it's all rice paddies down here, so you can splatter down any place in about 2 or 3 feet of water. So, I guess there's not much to worry about now. Just not get complacent. I'd like to think that I'm really getting to be a pretty good pilot now. I'm beginning to feel that, you know, I can do things a lot better than most of the people over here can. Which only stands to reason because I've been over here more than most people have. So, I don't know, I'm just kind of rambling along here using up tape. Maybe I shouldn't talk about the hazards of flying like this, but I don't know. I think you've known them all along. And believe it or not, things are kind of going over here in more or less the way they went at Walters, you know. You'd hear about an accident every 2 or 3 weeks, you know. You didn't really think too much about it, and just kept right on going. It's kind of the same way over here, although lately it's been you hear about an accident every 2 or 3 weeks, and it happens to be somebody that you graduated from flight school with or knew in flight school, either vaguely or well, I don't, Black is about the closest person I've known so far that's gotten killed over here. I figure as long as Shepard and Finney and Barons and Charlie make it, I will be unbothered. Those are the only guys that I really feel very close to. The rest of them can all crash and burn, and I could really care less. Kind of a morbid attitude, I guess, but it's the truth. I don't usually get too upset over most of these other guys. although I knew him, I guess you just might call it a professional attitude, I don't know. Military attitude, that's what the Army thinks you're doing, you know, so, might as well make them happy. Here comes Captain Schofield. Well, let's see, Flaherty and Boone are at the club. The club over there by the mess hall. And, I don't know, there was a bunch of guys over at the swimming pool, but I'm sure they've either drowned or baked to a crisp by this time. Well, you got some new and exciting news to tell us? Well, I just ran out of tape, so I'm coming back on again so I can say goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye, and I love you a whole lot. And I'll be seeing you very soon, like in about 100 days. So I want you to count on your fingers 10 times, and by the time you do that, I'll be home. Okay? One finger for each day 10 times, and that'll be it. Goodbye.